And again, we are going to begin a new book, the Gospel of John. We're going back and forth. You know, we finished up Luke, the Gospel written by the physician. Now we're facing John, and we're just going to look at a few things, maybe an introduction and just a few verses this morning. But John is wonderful. I'm already slowing down. For the Gospel of John is, so enriching and helpful. And if we grasp what it contains, for us, it's life-giving. And, we're here because of Jesus Christ. We're here because we worship Him and honor Him. We want to know Him. We want to bear witness to Him. We desire His life and His power in our life for help. And He offers help for us. But John, the apostle whom Jesus loved, shares this story of Jesus, the narrative, a little differently than the other Gospels. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they're known as the Synoptic Gospels, because that means see together. If you read them, they kind of have the same, they start in Bethlehem, they have the birth, the baptism, and then they go into the wilderness. In many other ways, they are so compatible in their narrative. And focusing on Jesus' ministry in Galilee, mainly and mostly. And, on basically what He did. His miracles, His works, and whereas John, it's an account of his life, but John focuses on his words, what he said. And most of John, in words in red, and most of John, setting it apart from the Synoptic Gospels, was in Jerusalem, his ministry in Jerusalem. How Jesus, if God came to earth, became a man, it'd be mighty interesting if He had something to say to us. And what He says pertains to us. But interesting, the Gospel of John, how it's set apart and emphasis upon what Jesus said. It contains, some interesting things that the other Gospel accounts don't. 7 miracles. 6 of them not recorded in the other Gospel accounts. 7 statements, the great I Am statements we're going to look at as we go through. I am the bread of life, I am the light of the world. And how He declares His deity. When, there's a theme to every book. We looked at Matthew. And Matthew is a great transitional book between the Old Testament and the New because it speaks so often and depicts Jesus as the King and how He fulfilled, the kingdom, how He connects to the kingdom of God and how that, relates to the promised Messiah of the Old Testament. And Matthew, depicting Him as the King, Mark as the servant, as Peter, dictated the gospel to Mark and showing him as the servant. Luke, the one we just finished not long ago, his humanity, Son of Man, Son of Man, Son of Man, repeated over and over again. But John, set apart, Son of God, Son of God. And we're going to see how John points and emphasize the emphasis of the gospel, the theme of the Gospel of John is the Godhood of Jesus Christ. Jesus is God. And this is what makes all the difference. That's why we're here. That's why we worship Him. That's why we bow our hearts before Him. But the plain and someone said, the Gospel of John, is like a pool where a child can wade in and yet an elephant can swim in. And it's how it's so plain and simple when we look at Jesus' words and they just, bam, they relate, they connect. And yet, to really go into them, you know, the depths of the truth of what he's saying, what's recorded, is unfathomable. It's inexhaustible. We can't, you know, we're gonna scratch and sniff little presentation this morning. What truth is recorded in the Gospel of John? The purpose of the Gospel is written. And may it be our prayer. Look in chapter 20, in verse 30 and 31. Or beginning with 29, chapter 20. Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Look in verse 30, chapter 20. "And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." See the purpose and the intent of the book, that we might believe who he is, Son of God, God the Son, and may have life in his name. That's why 9 out of 10 Christians recommend the Gospel of John for the first book that you should read, because of the life-giving properties. You know, I got to know who he is before I bow to him. I got to bear witness of who he is. If I don't believe that he's God, I'm not going to give him my life. But if I believe he's God, I'm going to bow before him. And, a fool will, reject bowing before him. Who he is, in truth. The purpose given that we might believe who he is and have life in his name. As a matter of fact, let that be our prayer. As a matter of fact, let's pray. Father, as we continue, or as we begin this study in the Gospel of John, Lord, stir up our faith. We believe that Jesus is the Son of God, who Jesus is, that we see who he is. We understand who you are, Jesus. And that by believing, you stir up the life by your Spirit in our hearts, in our life, in our understanding, for your purpose. Lord, we love you, and we turn to you. We ask that you have your way. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, John's theme or emphasis of the gospel is the deity of Jesus, and he doesn't waste any time. Look in verse 1, chapter 1 of the Gospel of John. As a matter of fact, let's stand. I'm going to read a portion of this, a small portion, but yeah, I know you guys are grudgingly going to stand again. We're going to do 10 jumping jacks now. In verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." That's all we're going to do. Sit down. You can sit down. We're not even going to cover all that. "In the beginning was the Word." John, again. You know, the differences. Remember, we read the other gospel accounts. They start in Bethlehem. The genealogy in the book of Matthew. You know, from Adam, you know, in the 14 generations to Abraham. And how he, you know, genealogy is a record of ancestry. He looks at Jesus in the Bible and the other gospel accounts look at Jesus and they kind of like place him in the human, you know, genealogy records. Matthew does that. How Mark begins his gospel accounts starts like this. You know, in the beginning of the gospel. He starts right from the gospel account. Luke, he does the genealogy record too in chapter 3. But here, John, this is kind of like John's genealogy. It's different. It's from the God side. It's talking about who Jesus is in his deity. And we're going to hammer this today because it's the premise, it's the base, it's the anchor, it's the it's our strength, it's the foundation of our faith, who Jesus is. You know, oh, Jesus, he's a prophet. I believe he was a pretty smart man. you hear the weirdest things. You know, hey, I think he's pretty charismatic. He was like quite the salesman. Certain people have different viewpoints about him. But the truth of who he is, John declares, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He starts from the beginning. In the beginning. It's much like Genesis 1:1, how the Bible starts. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And beginning, because he takes us back, who Jesus is. In the beginning is when creation and time started. For that's when God created the sun, put the earth in rotation, and time began. But the Bible tells us here in the Gospel of John that in the beginning was the Word. Past tense. He predates the beginning of creation. Jesus, John talks about him and his eternal, attribute. He's God. He's eternal. But he talks about him being before time. In the beginning was the Word. You know, we associate everything with time. That's another thing, there's a disclaimer, for me and us and mankind. I'm going to represent mankind this morning. That our mind can only grasp and comprehend so much. We think of the Godhood of Jesus Christ and his nature. We think of the Trinity and the deity of God or Jesus Christ and his relation in the Trinity with the Father and the Holy Spirit. We can only understand so much. It's beyond our ability to comprehend. But the Bible states who he is, and we believe it. And he's God. And, we, because of our mind, we can only understand. We associate things on a timeline basis. We even, in eternity, we think of eternity and everlasting. Whenever we think of that, we think, well, it's beyond. When I die, eternity begins. For me, yes. But not for him. He dwells in eternity, and it was before time. If you think about, when he created the heavens and the earth, God was. He pre-existed. Self-existing. And how, before time began, after time, he's outside of time. God. And how we can only understand so much. We think of the beginning. Sometimes we think of the big inning. the big inning, Oakland had the other day with Detroit. But we think time-wise, the starting point. Whereas John's talking about he had no beginning. No starting point. From eternity, from everlasting. He was in the beginning. Bible beginnings. If you look at, some of the places the Bible talks about in the beginning, the world. Speaking about when the world was formed in the beginning. Or in the beginning of the gospel, when Jesus started his ministry, sharing the truth. How, the Bible talks about in Genesis, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. But it precedes all beginnings. In the beginning was the Word. The eternity of Jesus Christ. The eternal aspect of who he is. Pre-existing. Everlasting in a continuous state. So that's what John says. He's, in the beginning was the Word. In past tense. Before the beginning. And go way back as far as your mind can kind of comprehend. And before that, God was. Jesus was. We can't understand. We can't comprehend. But we accept. He was in the beginning. John's talking about his pre-existing state. The word, this first verse is really separated into three statements. In the beginning was the Word, the beginning. And then the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The Word was with God. Notice, if you turn to John chapter 17, turn to further on in the book, and look in verse 5. As Jesus was praying with his disciples, the true Lord's Prayer, the night of his arrest, in verse 5, he prays, "And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was." With the Father. You know, he shared in the glory, you know, the Trinity and the deity and the relationship he had with the Father and the Holy Spirit as they pre-existed in eternity. But Jesus praying, you know, how I was with you, Father, in the glory, but in the sense of oneness. Later on, Jesus in the Gospel of John says, "I and the Father are one." You know, I am in the Father and the Father is in me. The oneness, again, we can't understand the Trinity or the deity. And yet, it's stated in Scripture. It's a scripture principle, and we accept it. You know, how, you know, God is. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Separate, yet, you know, they're not identical. They have separate personalities. Yes, they're one. We don't understand exactly. But we accept. And Jesus, the Word, the Bible says, was with God in eternity before time began. John declares. The Scripture tells us plainly, and we believe, in the Trinity, in the unity of the Godhood, in the triunity. And the Word was with God, accompanying, yet one. The Word was God. This is like, bam! You know, where does the Bible talk about Jesus being God? Right here, man. Right here in probably the strongest declaration in Scripture. The Word was God. You know, drink it in truth. It's what we stand on. It gives us balance and leverage. But here, John, again, you know, declaring his godhood, his deity. Jesus is God. In Proverbs chapter 8, you know, it's a scripture, you know, a portion that talks about the personification of wisdom. It doesn't speak about exactly who Jesus is, because in that scripture, it talks about wisdom, and wisdom was created. Jesus wasn't created. Jesus was the creator. He had his hand in creation. Nothing was made that was made without him. But in that portion of Scripture gives us some insight of their relationship with one another. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. For the Bible tells us, "Then I was beside him as a master craftsman. I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him." The love and the communion they have with one another. The Godhood. We don't understand it. And yet, they love each other in oneness. And Jesus even said, "Oh, Father, reveal to them the love that you have for me and I have for you." That oneness and love and communion and fellowship they desire to share with us. Why Jesus came? To include us in the fellowship. The Bible tells us of Jesus' relation to time, as John declares, you know, in the beginning was the Word, eternal, his relation to time. His relation to the Godhead. He's with God in the beginning, accompanying, yet one, the Bible tells us, of his deity, of his of the Trinity. A separate personality, yet unity, yet one. And again, the clearest declaration in the Scripture of Jesus. You know, why, you know, hammer this? What's the big deal? It's the big deal is because who he is. He's God. And he's God, and we're accountable to him because he's made us. You know, I was reading, you know, Jesus or a son of God. I just kind of Googled it to, you know, see what came up. We know that, you know, in the Jehovah's Witness Bible, in this first verse, they add an articleia. They add a word stating that in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was a God. So I Googled that. The Word was a God. It's not founded on any manuscripts. As a matter of fact, the two manuscripts that the Watchtower magazine cite, or the two commentators that they cite, one of them has publicly said, take my name out of there. He doesn't want to associate with it. And the other one is a known occultist, spiritist. How they twist the scripture. Jesus wasn't a son of God, he was the son of God. But in that context, I think of, you know, I was reading and Obama came up. Obama came up at a Easter. Hold on, because there's two sides of the story. He came up at an Easter presentation speech, and he says, "Yeah, we here because we acknowledge Jesus as a Son of God." And again, I repeated it twice as Jesus as a Son of God. Now, Jesus is the Son of God, the one and only begotten Son of God. But, you know, we look at Obama, we can clobber him because of his theology, but then, hey, look at Romney. He's a Mormon. He doesn't believe in the deity of Jesus Christ either. So, we can't pick a president based on our theology or their theology accuracy. Vote your morals. But how he depicts Jesus as God. And how important that is to us in his relationship to the Trinity, to the Father, and to the Holy Spirit. And later on, to us, his relation to us. But he says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. A simple declaration of the Godhood of Jesus Christ. Now, in this scripture, you know, the Bible tells us the word that he uses is logos in the Greek. Logos. And it means word. But the Greek philosophers used logos to explain the reason for things, or what brought order to our world and universe. The logos. You know, the philosophers used it in the context of, you know, making the world orderly, or ultimate reason, put sense into the world. The Hebrew word, or the rabbis, though they use, you know, a different word in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew it's dabar, for the word of God. And they use it as in a synonymous way as with who God is. If you think about it, you know, you read the Old Testament, and the word of the Lord came to Abraham, saying. Now, when God spoke to Abraham, it's kind of phrased in the scripture as the word of the Lord came to Abraham. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. The word of the Lord came to Isaiah. And then he's connected. The prophets are hearing from God, and God is speaking through the prophets. But it was synonymous with God. 92 times in the Old Testament, the word of the Lord, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham through Zechariah. But how the Hebrew mindset was that it was synonymous with God, the Word. The Word, David Guzik writes in his commentary, you know, it's as if John is saying, okay, I'll tell you who God is and the purpose and the reason of life. For the Logos gives, you know, through the Greek philosophers, the meaning and the purpose of life. Jesus gives us the meaning and the purpose of life. And later on, we see that, you know, in the beginning was the Word. And then later on, he says, in him was life, and the life was the light of man. And we're going to see how he connects and relates to us personally. But here, John introducing him as God, part of the Trinity, the Godhood, showing him and his deity. Now go to verse 18. You know, we use words. You know, in the beginning was the word, logos, word. And we use words to express our thoughts. What's in our mind, you can't see what's in my thought unless I tell you. And Jesus even says, out of the abundance of the heart, man speaks. Or we use words to tell you what's in our heart. Or express, you know, the invisible aspect of who I am, my personality, my spirit. Words communicate with you. Well, in the same sense, you know, John uses, in the beginning was the Word. Look in verse 18, chapter 1. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. Meaning, he has spoken him out. Told him. Told the story of who he is. See, Jesus is the Word. The description of who God is. Later on in the Gospel of John, the Bible tells us when Philip, show us the Father, and that'll be suffice. Jesus said, Philip, have I been with you so long, and you have not known me? When I tell you, when you see me, you have seen the Father. How Jesus himself tells me, hey, I've come to reveal who God is. He spoke it out, the Word. Describe the kids when they were younger, you know, the little Vanessa and Bella, they get so frustrated, you know, something was wrong. And they get frustrated, and they weren't able to express why they were frustrated. You know, it's like, and Ruthie would say, use your words. Use your words to express, you know. And that's exactly what Jesus does. He expresses who God is for us. You know, and when we see him, when we study him, when we know him, it's all about him. We read in Daniel, you know, Daniel's prophecies, prophesying the coming everlasting kingdom when Jesus comes again. We looked at the end time and the, you know, the great tribulation and all, when Jesus comes again, the revelation, when he's revealed. But it's all about him. Words are used to express and thoughts and the will of God. And the word of the Lord came unto Abraham. Every time the word of the Lord came to one of the prophets, it expressed what God wants, what God desires, what God's thinking, what God's will is. His word expressing himself, manifesting God. Jesus, the Bible tells us, you know, John here, he's the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, I'm going to go off a little bit, and yet I'm going to stay on. Okay? About the Word, and how the Old Testament, the Word of God is synonymous with God. And we look at it. Sometimes we think, hey, we get into the Word, and, you know, Calvary Chapel has even been, you know, accused of, hey, man, you guys are worshiping the Word, the Scripture, the Bible. You guys, like, you know, we pay a lot of attention to that book. And the Bible tells us, you know, the Word of the Lord came unto them. The Word of the Lord speaks. We read in Psalm today about the Word of the Lord. But using it synonymously in Psalm 119:8, forever, O Lord, your Word is settled in heaven. How it's used synonymously with God. 107, we read this morning, he sent forth his Word and it healed them of their destructions. Does that relate? You know how the Bible tells us, you know, Jesus heals us. He's come to heal the brokenhearted. He's come to, you know, fix our childhood. It's messed up. Mine was messed up, dysfunctional, broken home. You know, and we're attracted to Jesus because of the hope he gives to us. And he helps and he heals and he intervenes. The Old Testament Bible says, you know, he sent forth his word and it healed them from their destructions, from their sin. He saves us from the ruin sin will take us. But sent to earth, in Psalm 147:15, it says, he sends out his command to the earth. His word runs very swiftly. Jesus came to earth. You know, interesting, you know, a scripture in Isaiah the prophet, when he speaks about God's word, he states, so shall my word that goes forth from my mouth, it shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. It's interesting. You know, he's going to accomplish what he sent forth his mission to accomplish. And then he goes back to heaven. And I'm interrelating these things. But the Bible does. You know, I remember Roseanne used to talk about, like, you know, like a girl. She'd say, oh, that's not talking about the written word. That's talking about the living word, Jesus. And they relate so often. Roseanne has, like, the right side. Roseanne, God took part of me out of me and made Roseanne. And she's the part that understands things that I don't see. And yet the truth is, he is the living word. And we do and can connect with him. And he sent forth his word to heal us. And the medium by which he speaks to us so often is through his written word. Yet he's alive. And how the Bible testifies of that. We read this morning the purpose of the book written by John is that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, that these things were written. Many other miracles were written. They're not recorded in this book. But these things were written that you might believe who he is, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. We're to connect. And, you know, that's my prayer. As we go through the Gospel of John, to connect with what Jesus is saying, that we may have life in his name, to be revived in him by his Spirit through his word. He speaks to us. He's alive. And he's ever existed, who Jesus is. Before he became a man, he existed with the Father and communed and fellowshipped with God in the triunity of the Godhead. And then the final scripture I'm going to read. Remember, the Bible tells us in Hebrews, you know, how God who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. How he speaks to us. It's God's final word. Let's stand. Warren Wiersbe even goes this far. He says, hey, he's not only God's final words, but when he came back to the Apostle John, remember how he appeared and he says, I am the Alpha and the Omega. He's the Greek alphabet. He's the entire Alpha. He's the word to us. He's God's revelation, manifestation, connection with us, to him, by his word. It's his final word. Let's pray. Father, we do look to you as we hold up this new book and as we continue through your word to study your word. We desire to see you, Jesus, and to hear you and to know you and to realize and acknowledge our connection with you. And Lord, do open our heart. Send forth your word that you might heal us and free us and deliver us and strengthen us and empower us. Lord, that we might believe that you're the Son of God and that by believing we might have life in your name. Lord, pour out your Spirit. Give us life. Rejuvenate us for your purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. I know I kind of went a little bit, but hey, it's all in the name of the Holy Spirit. May we hear him and connect with him. That's why we're here, you know. We don't go through the motions. We're not going through the word for an academic exercise. We open the word because we want to hear from him. We want to know him more. We want to, you know, we desire his presence. We desire a relationship. We desire to know him more. And in truth, to connect with him. Because of who he is, makes all the difference. He's God, and he connects with us. He became man, connecting with us. And he offers that connection to us. That's why we're here. That's why I do what I do.